another place. The method that you use to do that, the components, in other words, and the you know, the circumstances surrounding it, are potentially, you know, very crucial. You know, from a, of course, from a halachic point of view, you're creating an entirely a new identity. But of course, in terms of the accompanying hashkafic you know, element as well, just as we've been spending all year pretty much discussing kedushas ishus and the need for two phases, you know, the kedushin and the nesuin and the ksuba, of course, and trying to show how all of the pratim surrounding that really present, you know, a certain hashkafa, a certain you know, halachic perspective on an institution which, you know, in many other respects is very universal. As most cultures, again today there are some other challenges, but most cultures have a concept of you know, marital union. But what we've tried to show all year is that the, you know, the pratim really highlight, you know, very, you know, distinctive approach, and one which is very consistent with, but also, you know, enhances our understanding of Kedushas Yisrael generally. So if that is true, and it is true, about creating the, you know, bond between husband and wife, which is a kind of new chalos, a new identity, so you can just imagine that, of course, hu adin legabe geirus, you're talking about taking somebody from one, you know, worldview, you know, to another worldview. And the ability to do that is just extraordinary. You know, of course, it also involves you with a theological and philosophical question too, and that is, you know, how different a chalos is Kedushas Yisrael. And, you know, the more you take, I guess, what could be sometimes termed the rational approach, which is, you know, the essence of man is the same, and it's his beliefs, you know, which you know, give him a different identity. But even that, you know, ends up creating you know, metaphysical consequences. We do believe that a Jew has different obligations and he has different status and different stature. But, you know, one perspective is to see all of that, you know, in terms of his belief system and consistency of it. You know, but obviously that makes more accessible the ability to move from one world into another. Whereas if you take, you know, what's sometimes seen as the, you know, Kuzari, Marami Prague, you know, perspective, which is that, you know, the you know, metaphysical, not just the metaphysical, but even the whole, you know, identity, you know, of a Jew is different than that of a non-Jew. Obviously flowing still from his beliefs and his, you know, his commitments and so on. So the, you know, the Rubicon that you need to overcome is obviously greater. So either way, the same, there's a difference, but, you know, the difference isn't so critical. The components that allow for Geirus, you know, are something that need to be, you know, scrutinized very carefully. That's why this is such an amazing and important topic. And the idea that there could be different levels, there could be different components, and there could be different levels and types of Geirus, and in different types of geirus we might emphasize different things, you know, is also something to consider. So this is a massive topic, and, you know, we only have another, you know, one short shiur now to speak on. So I want to talk about some of the issues, but obviously we'll put it on the list, but I really love to exhaust it, because, again, anybody who's been here knows that my very strong conviction is that, you know, details aren't just details. Halachic details really accentuate, you know, in a very deep and a meaningful way, you know, the different perspectives. So the Havayas, the Havayah v'Rav on any topic are never pratim. They're pratim that, you know, that dictate the distinctiveness of an approach, and they could be subtle, and they could be, they could require, you know, a lot of effort to uncover them. But at the end of the day, you know, that investment, you know, is, of course, not just worthwhile. It's kihem chayin of orech amenu. So the idea that there might be different geirus categories, too, is something to think about, and we've already touched on that. So I'm going to focus again on the things in the sugya first, and obviously, you know, branch out a little bit, but a lot of these things will be, you know, food for thought, and would require more extensive treatment at another time. The idea that there are different types of gerus already comes up in the discussion that we had. What is the relationship between Klal Yisrael's experience at Maimed Har Sinai and a regular gerus? Right, the Gemara in Sugya and Krisus and the Rambam's Hagdama, pretty much in Hilchos Yisurei Biyah in Perek Yud Gimel, right, where he begins really with this parallel, and this is the assumption of the Rishonim and the assumption certainly of the Achronim as well. At the Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, the Shlosh Advarim Nichnas Yisrael Lebris, the Milo Tvilo Karban, then he elaborates, and then in Halacha Dalet the Chel Ladoros Kishiyir Tzahagoy V'Yikones Lebris V'Listofev Tachas Kanfei Ashchina V'Yikabla L'Ol Torah Torach Milo Tvilo V'Hartzos Karban V'Yimnekeva Tvilo V'Karban Shinema Kachem Kager Ma'atem B'Milo Tvilo V'Hartzos Karban Afgel L'Doros B'Milo Tvilo V'Hartzos Karban, and so on. So again, this is all based on the Sugya and Krisus on Daf Tes, and the Rambam, doesn't think it's just a Melitza B'Yama, but he has it here. That's why some of the Bali Tosas could say in the Sugya that we just discussed that perhaps there is such a thing as Ger Katan. Look what happened in Maimed Har Sinai, and that's why the Shet Shmeitz and other Achronim could ask their question, about Kurba. So one of the things that we try to explain, the Ritva here and in general, is that there are critical differences. You have to look again, if you're talking about Rubicons, number one, there wasn't, I don't believe I mentioned this part last time, there wasn't, a division of Jews and non-Jews, prior to the moment of Maimed Har Sinai, to that extent. So, the Rubicon itself, is just different. Moreover, Klal Yisrael's previous, historical background is what established their destiny for Maimed Har Sinai. It was all moving to that point. And once that took place, it wasn't Kekata Chandola Dami that they didn't have a past. On the contrary, the Zeicha Letzias Mitzrayim and everything that, preceded it, and the Zchus Avos and all those things are part and parcel of what it means to be a member of Klal Yisrael. So, the typical things, both in terms of going forward and backwards, that we associate with Geirus are not only not exactly true when it comes to Klal Yisrael, but the opposite is true. If there wasn't that background, there wouldn't be that future. And part of that, continuing future is the link to that background. In addition to that, of course, you have the idea that, the Avos themselves, had some sort of connection with mitzvos, as did Klal Yisrael themselves, already in the time of Mara, some mitzvos, and already learning about more mitzvos. So, between that and the other chilukim that we mentioned, which are, that all of the, it was a, perhaps, geirus shel harabim, or shel hatzibur, collectively, it was a geirus bivatzachas, I tried to compare it to omim, to that as well. All of these things and several more, made this a different experience, and yet there is a connection, and the Rishonim and the Achronim are debating the degree of that connection. Even the Rambam itself, it's very fascinating. Right, b'shloshet varm nichnas yisrael lebris, and then b'chein ledoros kishiyirtza hagoy l'yichanes. It doesn't say that Klal Yisrael went from goyus to yisraelius. It doesn't say that they were now mistofef tachas kanfei ashchina. Probably they were already that, but the kabbal all of old Torah. The combination of the Rambam may be Knisa Lebris, and maybe the differences have to do, the common features have to do with Knisa Lebris, and Knisa Lebris means an important change from where you are, assuming a different an enhancement, or in some cases a different identity. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the same Bris, for the reasons that we discussed and for other reasons. So you can have the common denominator on the one hand, what does it mean to make a big leap and a change, but at the same time there can obviously be some differences. The fact that the components are largely the same is of course very significant, but in terms of things like kurva and the other things that we were talking about, that there can be important differences, seems to be understandable as well. Again, mashal ma'davar domeh, Just in terms of, the idea of, coming from Maamid Har Sinai, not having, let's say, to overcome a past that is other or different, as you do in a regular case. The Moshe L'Mad Dover Domer is that, some of the differences in terms of Dinei Eretz Yisrael. There are certain rules of Eretz Yisrael that apply once Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, and then the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, became concretized, that didn't exist. I'm just trying to point out a parallel phenomenon that didn't exist prior to that. That's when they were in the Midbar, and they weren't in Eretz Yisrael. There were certain things that apparently could take place there that once they entered into Eretz Yisrael could never take place outside of Eretz Yisrael ever again. Smicha, of course, is a great example. Right, the paradigm of Smicha is the Smicha of Moshe Rabbeinu to Yoshua. That didn't take place in Eretz Yisrael, even though the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, something we'll discuss next year, that Eretz Yisrael is a prerequisite for Smicha. So what you might say is, the categories, I think you say two things. The categories of Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, become fixed, and the gap between them becomes accentuated, once both of those chaloses exist. And the status of Eretz Yisrael as an aspiration, Eretz Yisrael b'chzekesi mi'avoseinu, the Gemara in Balbasa daf Kuf Yutes, is already a reality to some extent, but we know it's a tenuous reality until they actually enter in. The actual Knisa La'aretz creates new realities in Eretz Yisrael and in the contrast between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Moreover, an aspect of Eretz Yisrael that is very crucial to it couldn't have existed prior to the actual Knisa La'aretz Yisrael to some extent. And that is the embodiment of collectivity or the corporate life of Klal Yisrael. That's once there is a Chutz La'aretz and there is an Eretz Yisrael, so those become much more fixed. But in the Midbar, when the entirety of Klal Yisrael was there, and the leadership of the Melech, the greatest leader that Klal Yisrael would ever have, Moshe Rabbeinu, was in place, you weren't going to say that there was no on any level, concept of Klal Yisrael. Hayom Hazeh Ni'eis Al'am, at Maamid Har Sinai and at Tzias Mitzrayim earlier, the Kur HaBarzel, which created the Klal, all of these things, this was all part of the process. Now, once they stepped into Eretz Yisrael, it could be that forevermore, certain of those expressions are going to be limited to Eretz Yisrael. Until that point, the entire nation is moving towards that goal, but they're moving, as a klal. And therefore things like, smicha, and especially the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu representing the interests of Klal Yisrael, it's not Eretz Yisrael per se, it's not Nitzas HaTzulius Ba'aretz, as we'll discuss next year. It's that idea. It's, Klal Yisrael Sheb Eretz Yisrael Ikri Kohol. I don't want to get too involved in that, we'll again have enough time to discuss it, but I'm just giving you that as an example. So too, this idea of Kedushas Yisrael and Bnei Noach, and the role, or the distance, let's say, that you travel from one to get to the other, is just different in the process which solidifies Am Yisrael and Klal Yisrael, which Maamid Har Sinai did, and therefore even though to some extent it's a Knisa L'Bris, B, to some extent even a kind of a gerus, but the idea of fully capturing in an absolute way what would happen afterwards, for the same reason doesn't make so much sense. There are other types of gerus as well. The gerus of an eved Knani, who passes into Kedushas Yisrael. That's a topic which I'm not going to discuss right now, but which gets a lot of overlap treatment to Gerkatan, actually, because the issue of Kfiya and Bal Korach, maybe we'll talk about it just a little bit. What is the nature of the Gerus of an Eved Knani becoming an Eretz Yisrael, becoming a Jew? And that is different because he's already in a framework, he's already in a Jewish environment, and he's in a Jewish environment where he has certain stature already. La mi isha, the Eved Knani has you know, a chiyuv and mitzvos, certain types of evkinani at least, just not mitzvos atzeishas bangrama. And while there's a huge difference between them, the rabbi always used to point out that, you know, the p'tur mitzvos atzeishas bangrama nashim has nothing to do with kedushas Yisrael. It's just a chiyu, it's just a p'tur mitzvah. So we talked about this, and we talked about osik mitzvah patur mina mitzvah, and the marachor zarua makes that reference. But, you know, it's very easy to explain that the, you know, exclusion of mitzvah seishas mangrama and an eved is a lack of kedushas Yisrael. But either way, the eved's in between status is something which is part of the story here, and how much lala miisha, how much status as a Yisrael or a quasi Yisrael or a potential Yisrael does he have during the time that he's an eved, and whether or not the limitations of his avdus with regard to these issues are dinim of eved or dinim of lack of full kedushas Yisrael. That's a big issue in the Rishonim. Reb Chaim has several pieces on this in Uchaz Yisrei Biya. My own view, I'm just going to mention it quickly for the hashkafa value of it and also for the paradigm of it, but it comes out of details again, is that really, at least for the Rambam, there seems to be, you know, mixed signals, and that really the idea in the Rambam is that the shame eved dinim have to do with the shame eved, limitations of kedushas Yisrael have to do with the shame eved, and the lack of full kedushas Yisrael in an eved, you know, it's his tzad goyus, if you will. Instead of looking at these two things as two ideas that are mutually exclusive, which I think is true for most Rishonim and is true in many Achronim's treatment of this topic, including at least explicitly Reb Chaim, I think in the case of Eved Kanani that these two ideas come together, meaning that the shame Eved is what limits Kedushas Yisrael. And it goes actually to a point that I made very quickly the other day when we talked about Zachin, you know, about, you know, Avdus being something, you know, Avdei Hashem velo Avdei Paro, you know, Avadai velo Avadim la'avadim, the idea that isn't just, you know, a Lincoln-esque, you know, nicety, but it says something, I talked about Pidgin Shuyim, but, you know, in that context, that Cherus, you know, Eindan Chorin Elimishosik Batar, the concept of being a Ben Chorin and having Bechira is an issue in Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore, an Eved's limitations, when he's an Eved, which are due, according to the Rambam, at least in part, to his shame Eved, that's not a stira with also being a limitation in his Kedushas Yisrael. The absoluteness of those categories, in my opinion, are defied in the case of Eved. Anyways, the point I want to make is that the Eved status in the interim is a fascinating one and a debated one. And it's a kind of a possible paradigm of Miktsas Geirus, which is relevant to some of the things we're going to discuss in a minute. Other Miktsas Geirus issues, including Klal Yisrael. But the second phase, of course, is equally challenging. And that is, what happens when you go from being an Eved Kanani, if you go from being an Eved Kanani, to full Geirus? Obviously, you know, it depends very much on the first question. That's, if you had full Kedushas Yisrael, but you were the only ikuv of your stature and status and other issues was your Shein Eved, and now you get Shikror, so then, you know, it almost, you know, just fills in, you know, automatically. If you say it the way I'm saying it, it's a little more, you know, intriguing, because, you know, the ikuv was Ma'akev even in the Kedushas Yisrael. Not that you had full Kedushas Yisrael, but your Shein Eved was, you know, kind of, you know, masking it. It's that the Hafkas Shem Eved is a new is a prerequisite for full Kedushas Yisrael. So then, that becomes an aspect of Geirus in a way. If you think that the Tzad Goyus was just an incompleteness of Kedushas Yisrael in a more intrinsic way, so then, you know, the phase two, if you will, requires, you know, Geirus. And then, you know, how much Geirus? And do you need a separate Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos? What is the role of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos in all of these phases? In any case, I'm just raising the question for the moment. It's a rich topic. Eved status number one and Eved status number two are paradigms and types of Geirus. So too, Eved Katan or Ger Katan may be a type of Geirus. At least that's something, you know, to think about. And that might explain why, you know, some of the phenomena don't fully accord with, you know, what we normally anticipate. both in terms of Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs, which we're going to discuss in a moment, meaning if the only Geirus that doesn't require Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs is Katan, Ger Katan, A, we have to know if that's true, maybe it does require, maybe others don't require, right? That would equate them. But if there is a difference, so then the difference could still be attributed, we're going to document the Shittas in a minute or two, the Shittas could be, the differences could be due to a number of factors, and that, you know, would explain it fine. But one approach might be that a Ger Katan is just a different Chalos, Gerus, than a Ger Gadol. And maybe partially related to, you know, either Matbilin or Sodas Bezdin, the fact of, you know, Bezdin's involvement in the case, assuming that that's true, even when the father and mother, or the father alone, are involved, which is a debate in the Rishonim, which we've already seen, Tosfos and Sanhedrin, and some of the Rishonim here, and Tosfos here, and Rashi here, seem to debate that point, whether you need Matbilin or Sodas Bezdin in that context or not. But also perhaps due to the factor that the Gemara, you know, speaks of narrowly, but maybe bigger, and that is the idea of, you know, Avda Bef Keira Nichale, or Goy Bef Keira Nichale, and, you know, Tom Tam Iser, maybe, you know, the idea of a Ger Katan and a Ger Gadol are just different, you know, in terms of the Chalos Geirus. So one of the things we need to look at, and there might be other cases as well, is whether or not there aren't different levels of Geirus. I should add that, you know, putting together two things I just mentioned, what about Ebed Katan, you know, becoming a Ger Katan? So, anybody get a chance to see, that was definitely on the original Maror Makom, anybody get a chance to see the, you know, the Chiddush HaGram? Was that on Maror Makom? It was. Saw it? Yeah. So what's the idea of the Chiddush HaGram? Just very quickly, and then we'll document it a little more later. What's the problem that he's dealing with? So you have a Rambam, right? In Tilchos Savadim, what is it, Perikhes Halacha Zayin? I don't remember.
It was
Perikhes Halacha? Chaf Zayin? No, Chaf Zayin doesn't seem right. Halacha Chaf. What is it? Perkhes Hilchos Avadim Halacha Chaf?
Yeah.
Okay, what does he say there? The Rambam just describes a case.
Right.
Tokfa, right? It comes, by the way, what's the mocker for that Rambam? Anybody know? Should always look. Especially if it's controversial.
Right.
Who says that?
No,
ah, that's why I told you I wanted to look at the notes that came. And did you buy it? Did or didn't?
Did not.
Okay, what did he say?
He said that the category is completely different. You need Bezdin for an
excuse. Yeah, well, you have the Rambam, language of the Rambam? Go ahead. Okay. So the question is, where does that come from and what is that? So what does the Magen Mishnah say?
He said it's from
The Kesem Mishnah.
Yeah,
he quotes our Gemara in Ksuvas, Yud Aleph. Right? Ger Katan. And what does the Lechem Mishnah say?
He says that's not true because you need three people. That's what the Gemara Ksuba says. Whereas here it's just based on one person doing it on his own.
Yeah, that's number one. What else is completely missing? This is Ramosha Salvechik's point. What else is completely missing?
Zochan
Lanam Shalom Bafanov. No mention of that. Where Rambam does mention that in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, in Perek, what is it, Yud Gimel? I mean, the Rambam knows Rambam has a halakha of Ger Katan, right? He has it here. Ger Katan Halacha Zayin. Ger Katan Mabilin Osal Das Bezdin. Shazkosulo. Right? What else is missing? But this third thing that's missing is a little tricky. Because it's missing where it's supposed to be also. Ah, I already gave it away. Couldn't help myself. What's missing? Not so much. I'm not sure about that, but what's missing? Ellie? What? No. Rabbi Yosef is missing. Right? In Migdilu Yecholim Limchos. Isn't that's what Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik points out, correct? Yeah. So, but I said that's a little tricky because it's also missing in Perek Yud Gimel Hilchos Isur Abiyah Halacha Zayin. The Magen Mishnah there originally thought that the Rambam paskins against Rav Yosef, which would be sensational. Some people think the Rif, we're going to get back to this, paskins against Rav Yosef. About Higdili Cholim Imchos, right? The Magen Mishnah says that's shot in the Rambam. Wow. Right? There's such a day in the Shittim Kubetzes as well. Right? In the Magen Kovas I gave you. That's amazing. We have to talk about that. Rav Yosef's halacha of Igdili Cholim Imchos is either an unbelievable kiddush, in which case you can understand why no, or it's just so basic that of course it has to be, in which case if you say no, that's unbelievable and sensational. Anyway, we'll get back to yes Rav Yosef or no Rav Yosef, but does the Rambam believe in Rav Yosef or not? In fact, again, the Magen Mishnah really originally said no, and then he was chozer. Why was he chozer? Because the Rambam does say it, but where does he say it? And this is also fascinating. Where does the Rambam say it? No. Not in the Isur Abiyah at all, which is where he should have said it. Where does he say it? Anybody? In Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud. Right? In Perek Yud, Hilchos Malachim, the Rambam quotes Rav Yosef. That's why the Magen Mishnah originally thought that he doesn't paskin that way. And they said, oh yeah, I forgot, it's in Hilchos Malachim. Of course, that raises an interesting question. If you're writing Dine Geirus in Hilchos Isur Abiyah, why would you only quote Rav Yosef in Hilchos Malachim? I have a theory for that. I don't know if it's right, but I'll tell you in a minute. But it definitely requires, the Rambam's going to mislead you. Well, it's further proof of my larger Rambam thesis, it's another example, that while the Rambam was writing definitely a Sefer Halacha for his time, in part, that was a secondary or thirdary or fourthary, aspect of it. And that really, really, he was writing a conceptual, structural, presentation and representation of the Halacha. And that's why there can be, if you're a good code writer, even just a competent code writer, and the Rambam was a magnificent, everything writer, according to all, accounts, because you just see that he was and is. Just what he did organizationally, is just astounding, as we've always noted. But when somebody does organizationally astounding things, then he can't, it's just not conceivable, that he makes glaring, mistakes that are going to mislead people if the goal of his enterprise, is to provide them what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, so they won't trip up. Right? So the Rambam, reorganized all of Halacha in his own way. Obviously, with very many, I'm sure multiple agendas too, but he did it. And, there's nothing like it. And in the middle of Hilchos Geirus, where he just needs to add, a little more ink, however, in Migdili Yecholim Limchos, that had to wait till Hilchos Malachim, so that the Magen Mishnah, one of the most astute, and important commentaries on the Rambam, for a second would think that maybe it didn't paskin that way. And maybe people looking at this code would think that the Katan doesn't have a right of refusal. And it's not like a small nafkamina. I mean, he's not Jewish. So yeno yeinesach, and kiddusha venum kiddushim, and everything else. So the consequences are huge. It belongs right here. It's misleading. Like, what's he doing? Right? Again, I always like to quote, I have many, many examples of this, but I like to quote the one in Hilchos Trumos as an example of it. But there are many you could quote, right? The Rambam makes you think that Kedushas HaAretz befoal is Doraisa, right? In the beginning of Hilchos Truma until the very last halacha, practically, of the parak, 25 halachos later. The Rambam's Pshitas on Shvuas Eidos for a Melech and whatever, totally misleading. I could give you 100 examples, it doesn't really matter. Don't hold me to 100, but... There are a number of examples in big issues, like these aren't small issues, big consequences, where it's obvious that things go in a certain way, place, and yet he, you know, Bishita obviously puts him somewhere else. So that's my point, that he wasn't foremost writing a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't have the upgrades and the updates either. He's not saying, in Cairo and in Fustat and whatever, as you know. I mean, he does here and there, but it, when he does it, it's rare. That's why we remember it. If he was really writing a code, he could do that all the time. Look at any code. They do it all the time. So the updates, the upgrades, the organization, the efficiency, he also wants to have, some of that benefit, but really the Rambam's difficult editorial decisions all point to the primary purpose of an idealistic, conceptual presentation of the totality of halacha. I'll tell you what I think now, and I'll come back to it in a second. I think he put it in Hilchos Malachim because the Rambam wanted to make a statement, a double statement. Number one, about what this is not, and number two, about what it is. And number two, what it is not, this is his way of weighing in on the discussion of the Rishonim here, Halatar, which is, if it's Yecholim Limchos, what kind of Geirus is that? How could this be Geirus Doraisa and Yachol Limchos? And that on two levels. I mean, fundamentally, how could they have something which is Geirus Doraisa with a right of refusal? Right? We'll talk about, make sure I talk about that again, some of the Shittos. And also just practically, meaning what are you going to do if the guy opts out and, that messes up your whole, your whole history. It revises everything. Not just his life. This is not Shavi Nafshi Chaticha Di Yisura, right? It destroys everybody. It revises everybody's life. So the question is, what is this? So I think on that level, this is the Rambam's way of saying, Ger Katan is a Geirus. Not exactly don't bother me, but Ger Katan is a Geirus. It's a Geirus Shlema. It's a Geirus Daraisa. Rishonim al Atar. The Ritva here says, the Rambam holds that the Geirus of Ger Katan is Daraisa. Al Atar. This Ritva. The guy who wrote the footnotes, I see in the Masada of Cook one, said, I kind of don't know, where does he get that from, the Rambam? And then he has a whole suggestion. Okay, very nice. But I think he got it from the Rambam, because the Rambam even, right, disconnects the biggest reason that you might, there are two big reasons why we think that Ger Katan is Rabban. Number one, if you have Zechiah problem, right, if Zechiah LeKatan is only Rabban, and this is typical Zechiah, then, or La'akum, then you've got a series like the Balitosis. And the other one is Higdili Yicholim Limchos. So by the Rambam tucking this away in Hokos Malachim, the Rambam is basically saying, don't worry about the quality of the Geirus. If this is Geirus, it's full Geirus. I'm not bothered by this undermining its Daraisa status. If the Rambam doesn't say it's Rabbanan, it's Daraisa, frankly. And number two, I'm not bothered by the practical fallout, whatever that will be. Why not? I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter. If it'll happen, it'll happen, and we don't anticipate it. I also think that it belongs in Hilchos Malachim, because it's an important principle regarding Bechira, all things being equal, or how do you... It's important for you to understand that this Ger Katan, who's becoming, a Jew, has a right of refusal. That isn't so much an important point to make in Hilchos Yisurabiyah, but it is an important point to make in Hilchos Malachim when you're talking about, the rights of a Ben Noach and what it means for a Ben Noach, what a Ben Noach's stature is, how much respect he is due in terms of his control of his own destiny, and so on. So I think it's perfect that the Rambam put it very good. Hilchos Malachim. Yeah.
One of the points that we made initially in the beginning of the Sugya was that one of the things that might tempt the Rishonim to pick an approach for a Ger Katan, whether it's the rest of the Rabbanan is the right of refusal. In other words, that it's indicative of the whole gay with Shabbat. So wouldn't that be appropriate to have in the Sirkiyah?
You mean assuming that it's Kabbalah's all mitzvahs? Is that what you mean? I don't think the Rambam thinks that's what it is. No, there's let me say it this way. For Tosfos and Sanhedrin, Samaches from the days, that the right of refusal... and there are some other Rishonim who hold this way as well, as we'll see in a couple of minutes when we document some of the Shittos. For those Rishonim who think that Tigdili Chol Limchos is a din in Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, it has to be in Perek Yud Gimel, Hilchos Yisurei. You know, but for the Rambam, I think it's about kviya and geirus, and therefore I think it's more about the rights of a ben Noach to choose his destiny, or to refuse the destiny that was imposed upon him when he was not in an age, you know, to argue, rather than being, because I don't think the Rambam holds that it's either stam din of zachen uchavin, technically, or that it's a din in kabbalas al mitzvahs. If it had been a din in kabbalas al mitzvahs, it surely would require to be inserted in Yisrei Biyah. I agree. Is that what you were saying, or are you saying more than that, or different than that? I'm not sure.
Also,
let me make something clear. I am reconstructing backwards. Now, when you reconstruct backwards, you know, I don't think that makes your conclusions necessarily less compelling. Meaning, if the Rambam had put this in Hilchos Yisrei Biyah, I wouldn't have a problem with it. And even now, I too can think of some good reasons, you know, why maybe this should also be in Yisrei Biyah. But I'm dealing with a phenomenon, you know, that I'm trying to understand and reconstruct. In other words, the Rambam, who is an amazing systematizer, intentionally took this out, created a misleading, you know, situation. I'm just documenting that by one of his faithful, you know, Mefarshim and others. And it's a strange that he put it in Hilchos. It's not like Hilchos Melachim is before Hilchos Yisrei Biyah, right? You can't get much later than Hilchos Melachim. So why did he choose to put it in Perek Yud Hilchos Melachim, which is about Ben Noach, instead of putting it in the Dinei Geirus? So I'm trying to give an explanation which I think fits with that. That doesn't mean that, you know, this explanation is so compelling that it negates any other, you know, editorial decision. If you said to me, well, had the Rambam put in Hilchos Yisrei Biyah, would you have, you know, been bothered by that? I can honestly say absolutely not, and still say that the fact that he put in Hilchos Melachim, you know, is for some reason, and I think this is a very good explanation. You understand what I mean? That this isn't like a zero-sum game. He could have, even given all of this, put it in Yisrei Biyah, and I'd be okay with it, maybe even happier with it. Not happier, because I think by putting in Hilchos Melachim, he accentuated something. So, but that's the difficulty methodologically. It's to explain why he did it, not why, you know, he couldn't have done it. We know why he couldn't have. I'm not saying it's so compelling that he couldn't have put it in Yisrei Biyah. That would be wrong. That would be overstating. That would be, you know, false hyperbole. But what I am trying to explain is he did something singular, and it definitely needs to be understood. I'm suggesting what that explanation is and how it fits into certain other things in the Rambam. I also would absolutely admit that there might be other explanations as good or perhaps better. This is the one that I've come up with. I know that there needs to be an explanation, that it needs to be something which makes this appropriate for Melachim and beneficial in some respect to keep out of Yisrei Biyah. Okay? So there's a methodological issue to our discussion as well. Anyways, well, getting back to it, so,
I was just wondering also how Rebbe read the line in the Rambam in the Yisrei Biyah when he first starts off, he says, V'shlosh Yisrael Nechus V'Yisrael L'Bris V'Milo Z'Yil V'Karban. And then, when V'Chein L'Doros K'Shiyut Ha'akum L'Kanis L'Bris L'Yisrael V'Tachas Kamp Yashkina V'Kabal Allah V'Old Torah Tzorach Milo Z'Yil. So, how do Rebbe understand the role of Kabbalah's Mitzvah?
Yeah, so I'm going to discuss that more soon. I think that the Rambam's view on Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos in general is, again, very challenging, a little bit puzzling. On the one hand, I'll tell you now, and then we'll document it in a couple of minutes. On the one hand, he inserts it almost as part of the obvious like definition of what Geirus is, and that's one of the examples of it right in the beginning, such that you would think, well, this is just, you know, par for the course. This is part of the definition. On the other hand, as we'll see, there are one or two, you know, comments of the Rambam which make it seem like, you know, if there was no Kabbalas o mitzvos, v'dieved, the Geirus would be chal. So, that's a problem. That's an issue. And that's why the, again, before Sheha Rambam had different views as to what there were Mefarshei Rambam because of that. And let's say take the Rambam's comments. What is it at the end of what did I give you to look at? In the end of Perek Yud Gimel, right? Ger shelo badku achrav o shelo hodiu hamitzvos the onsha n'mavot tavam b'fnei gimel hadyotos arayz a ger afil nodeshu b'shvil davar hum's gaya. Hol n'mavot tavam yotzim b'chal agoyim v'chol shelo achi yisbar tzidkuso afil chazar v'yavad avonazara harayok yisrael meshubat shekidush hakidush mitzal lahachzir avedaso shetaval v'nasa ki yisrael v'fikach kimu shimshon u'shlomo n'shosein af b'shenigla sod sidra shenigla sodan. So the this is a Rambam, which a famous Rambam, which is quoted often to prove that while Kabbalah Mitzvahs is a lechatchila, for the Rambam it's not a b'di'evet, and you could totally understand why people read it that way. But then the question is, well, but he inserts it in, even not even as a requirement, but as kind of like a definition. So the Rav, I'll speak more about it in a minute, but just since you asked, the Rav thought that the pshat in the Rambam was that, you know, the first point is the bigger point. Namely, for the Rambam, it's a davar pashut, that the content of Geirus requires Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs. The question is, do you need that as a formal tekes? Modin lo mitzas chamuras, mitzas kalos, is that a part of the, like, is there an official, you know, moment or ceremony, you know, again, where the Gimel Dayanim, let's say, are involved? We'll talk about it more. So that maybe the Rambam thought not, as long as there are other ways to know, you know, that this is part of the content of what he's accepting. That's how the Rav thought to say it. The Rav was very, very strong in this point. He said, I heard him say it a few times, that very strong Rav language, like, it is absurd, you know, to think that there could be, you know, Geirus without Kabbalah Sal Mitzvah. Now, what he meant by that is it requires also, you know, obviously, what does it mean, Kabbalah Sal Mitzvahs? Well, we'll talk a little bit about some of the issues. We're not going to be able to discuss the details, but some of the issues we'll talk about soon. But meaning this idea that, which has become especially in modern times, in other words, till 200 years ago, you know, so it was generally understood that, you know, Geirus has to, of course, include Kabbalah. So what does it mean to be a Jew if not to live Jewish life, which means to live the world of the halacha? Being a Jew meant, you know, certain minimum, you know, practices, you know, before emancipation and assimilation, you know, and all that became sadly rampant. So again, you could be, you know, a closet skeptic or, you know, not such a consistent, you know, you could be an avarian, but basically if you were a Jew, you were living in the Jewish community, you know, you were going to shul on Shabbos and you were not doing malacha certainly before, I mean, there were always avarianim. But basically you were, you know, acting in a certain way. Obviously, since that sea change in life, you know, and Jewish life, you know, the idea that you could have people who identify with Jewish people, you know, amei chami, you know, but, you know, who are weak on the elokai chalokai part, you know, that became, so that's why in the last 250 years, you know, this issue of Geirus Beli Kabbalah Sal Mitzvos, the possibility of it, you know, in a more real way, you know, has become very controversial, and poskim have taken different, you know, positions on that. But the Rav really was very strong about the notion. Again, part of it is has to do with our sugya here, we'll see in a moment. It just cannot, he just thought it's part of the Hagdara, and he was basically quoting, you know, that Rambam that you quoted and others, you know, that's just what it means to, what does Jewish life mean otherwise? Identification with the history, of course, alakai chalakai, I mean, amechami, but also alakai chalakai, and the two are inseparable. And therefore, to him, you know, halacha yud zayin had to be about the tekes, or how you know it, but it couldn't be that there could be an absence of it. But there are poskim who read halacha yud zayin in a different way. So we'll get back to that. Either way, how did I get onto this? I know. So back to the Rambam. So the fact is that the Rambam does have the din of Rabbi Yosef, but he has it in Nuchas Malachim, and I was just trying to explain why I think it's in Nuchas Malachim and not in Yisurim B. Okay. But what he doesn't have is the equivalent of that halacha in Perek Ches Nuchas Avada Malacha Chaf. So there are numerous subtle discrepancies. So while the classical Nosa Kalim, some of them say, oh, you want to know where this halacha and the Rambam came from? It's Ksuvas Yud Aleph, In fact, some of the other notes that Caleb noted, that really the makar for the Rambam is, anybody? The Yerushalmi. Right? Yeah, it's a Yerushalmi. And that it's a different halacha. So Moshe Soloveitchik said that, you know, this has nothing to do with Ger Katan Matilano, so that's the piece. The Rav used to quote this, by the way, and you know, way before the Kedusha Gram was only published, like, you know, what is it, like 15 years ago? Yeah. So, but he always used to quote this in the name of his father, this Rambam, and this Halach. That basically the Rambam thinks that there's no such thing as kfiya, you know, in Geirus, you know, fundamentally, because how can one person impose his will on someone else in such a matter? But not because, and it, basically, I'll use my terminology, I think it was his terminology too, it's a tziruf problem, meaning what A does or is imposing on or is connecting, you know, the other person to, it just doesn't stick. It doesn't accrue to him. He's not a faithful, representative for him, you know, in this matter. But is there a din per se that, you know, that Geirus, you know, has to be Baratzon? In terms of Chalos Geirus? Or is it just a din that whenever it's not Baratzon, it's just not going to be mitzuraf, and there's no way to, it's a practical question of how you accomplish such a thing. Not so much a conceptual or theoretical question of whether such a thing is, you know, anti-definitional or accomplishable. So again, I'm reformulating it a little bit, but this is basically what he was saying. So what he was saying was, well, in the context of Tokfal of, in the context of Avdus, right, there is tziruf. The whole idea of Abdus is that you are under the thrall, right? You are under the, you know, the control of this other person. Right? That's what an Eved means. Maybe that's why Eved is also lacking some Kedushas Yisrael, as I've discussed before. That's my ha'ara. But the point is, so that's why this is a din, not a Nichlas Yisrael Biyah, and it's not a din Nichlas Malachim Alad either, right? Because it's not about Benoach, and it's not about Ger Katan. This is a din in Eved Katan. In Eved Katan, indeed, it's the only time when you can have a mechanism of imposing will on the other. That's what Avdus is, for better or for worse. Not good for the, you know, for the Eved. You know. But, therefore, Perikhes, Halacha Chaf, is a different phenomenon. So if we're talking about, and we don't have to stop here, types of Geirus, right? I mentioned Maimon Har Sinai, and then I mentioned, Eved Kenani in its two phases, and then I mentioned, you know, for various reasons, Ger Katan, right? And then I mentioned now, within Ger Katan, Eved Katan might be a different concept, a different idea. Okay. Having said that, I also just wanted to add one other thing. I mentioned the other day Gershon is Gaier, Kakatan Shinolad, and we were talking about, Ellie and I still have to have our meeting about this, about, you know, the person being in the process already, you know, being identified, you know, as a soon to be Ger or as a soon to be Yisrael, you know, there's that we can anticipate, even though we normally say, you know, Mechusar Maisa or Mikara Behema, you know, Hasam Das Acheres, very harsh language of the Gemara in Kedushin about Dovr Shel Bali Olam. You know, Amanashana as Gayer, but you know, when somebody's in the process, the idea that we can say, all right, you know, it's on Zachin Lagai. This is Zachin LeYisraelius, or Lemisha, you know, Bob Bechlal Yisrael. And then we talk about Gershon as Gayer again, you know, whether in the broader destiny thing or at least at this point. So just interesting to note that they don't say it, but the Ritva Latar of the Mishnah here in Ksuvis does make the comment. I hope I didn't do something for that. Yeah, the way the language of the Mishnah is also that way. And it's an interesting deal. Right? Hagioris Hashbuya Hashivcha She Nipdu shenis gairu v'shenishtakvaru, right? Pchusas v'ibnoskim v'lishon of Yom Echad. Very easy to miss this, but it is what Ritva points out. So the shvuya and the shivcha were nipdu and nishtakvaru, right? So it should have been hagoya shenis gairu. But it isn't. It's hagioris shenis gairu. So, again, in addition to the general ha'ara about gershin is gayer, you know, kekotin shenolad, here in this Mishnah, it's just accentuated a little more because, you know, its partners, you know, are properly rendered. So the contrast between, you know, properly identifying the pre and post stage of the shivcha and the shvuya, right, as opposed to the giores, it's very striking. So the Ritva himself notes it and then kind of does away with it. He says, it's a lashon gnai. Since this person's about to be a Jew, so we're already. One second. The Kivan de Kfar, he asks a question. Hodik fani giores, lo kfani hagoya, o hanachris, kedik fani hashvuya v'hashivcha. So I would just answer along these lines. Okay. He doesn't. The kivin the kfar in his gaira, loy boy, le mekarya, b'shem shol gius, sheignai. Okay. He's saying after the fact. You could just say this in a much nicer, more fundamental way. You know, he's saying it in technicality. Like, we don't want to be mazkir, we don't want to remind them of their past. You know, or maybe it's part of the kakotim shenola. You can't even say what you were. You know, the history doesn't begin yet. But I think one could have said, you know, whether it's about the Igloi Milsal Mafreya in the past, or it's even, you know, in anticipation because of this being in this process, or this bigger destiny idea, that in Achanami, this contrast is very enlightening. Okay. Anyway, that's the Ritva.
Does Rabbi think that's what Rabbi Salah is saying?
Do I think what?
That's what Rabbi Salah is saying.
Yes, that may be what I was talking about last week. Yeah, that line is particularly good. Correct. I do think that.
The Ritva is listening to Tosfos because he understands Tosfos, that idea for the
Kimmich Abad. It's going Von Kiachad.
Right.
Excellent, very good. Right. He says it's more Gitov Yad Avon Kiachad type of model. And I would just add, by the way, if you want, since I think the Ritva is Lashitaso, and I like that very much. That definitely goes in the record. But I want to add also that one of the things that bothered me about Geruso, Viado, or whatever, Boin Kiachad, I remember we quoted the Xos, right? Is that, maybe that shouldn't really work here, right? So the Ritva is a Shitasa on that too. The Ritva happens to have an expanded view of Gitav Yado Boin Kiachad. He applies it, for example, to Geneva and Gezela and Shina Rishus in Kedushin Daf Nun, whatever his base. There are a few Ritvas all over the place that like are very enamored with the concept of Gita Vyada Bain Kiacha. They don't think it's an exception limited to the Nesina or whatever it is about Gitin that is unusual. They think that this is, even when we're talking about legal changes and catch 22s, it really works. So I think it's a double ishitasa. Very good. And that's exactly what I do have in mind. Okay. So let's talk about, again, it's getting late and I don't want to keep you forever. And I just do want to hit some of the big issues, but obviously, again, without exhausting them. So the Ritva here obviously raises the question about, why Gershon, why Matbilin also? Aldas Bezdin. What about Megairin also? Aldas Bezdin. Okay. So, as I mentioned the other day, this raises obviously an interesting question. Broadly speaking, there could be three, I guess, types of answers to this question. And there's an overlap, obviously, between them. Or at least between two of the three. One is that, basically, technical solution to the problem and one which doesn't in any way reflect, you know, different roles for Mila and for Tvila. And that's one thing that we find. We'll document it in just a second. The other two approaches, the other extreme, of course, is that we say Matbilin Osol Das Bezdin because the Tvila's role in the process of Geirus is more fundamental. And while you need Mila, right, Tvila is either the Gemara Geirus, I don't just mean in order, but it's the Davar HaMagayah, you know, in many respects. And therefore, not that you don't need Mila in the case of a Zachar, but we say Matbilin Osol Das Bezdin is a way of saying Megairin Osol Al Das Bezdin. The in-between between these two, or the lesser way to say this, which, you know, is to say that there are things about Tvila and Mila that Mila and Tvila are different. Certainly physically there are differences between them. That part is obvious. But I mean, even in terms of, you know, we'll see in a moment, the role that they play because of their physical differences. And as such, we emphasize Matbilin here rather than Megairin, but you just want to wonder, in light of that, whether that doesn't also reflect a bigger issue. In other words, here, it's not that we're emphasizing Matbilin because Matbilin, you know, highlights per se Tvila's more, let's say, conclusive or fundamental role, but there are other reasons why we're emphasizing it, but they themselves may accentuate, you know, these differences. Okay, so let me talk first about what the Rishonim actually say about this, and then speak a little bit about Mila, Tvila, Hartzos, Damim, and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, and the different, possibly the different roles that they play in terms of components of games. Was there a question? Did you want to ask something? Okay, good. So the Ritva asks this question, Alatar, the Rishonim in Alatar. First of all, there is a girsa in the Shinu Mekubetzes that says not Matbilin Osol Das Bezdin, but Molin Osol Das Bezdin. Okay, I mean, there goes that question, right? Obviously, there's nothing to talk about that. The Ritva here, let's start with the Ritva, gives three answers. Ritva says, he has three answers to the question. I don't know whether it flew away or not, or somebody rewrote the Ritva in the why we say Matbilin and not me and not Molly. Go ahead. You have it? Go ahead. Correct. Say that second one again, because that's tricky.
Why don't they have Gemar Geirus in parentheses?
Yeah, so the Rajba had Gemar Geirus, and the Meiri has Gemar Geirus. And the Meiri also mentions the Seder. I wanted to talk about that. Okay. And what's the third one, which also the Rajba quotes? Ah. Okay, those are three answers in the Ritva. Is that you're quoting from the Ritva? Yeah?
Yeah,
so how come I can't find it in mine? What's the Dibur Masam? I'm just curious. I know it's here, I've seen it, obviously. These are the three answers. What Dibur Masam? I'm just curious.
Amar Avuna, the first one on the Gemara.
Yeah.
This is in the Kovetz, I don't know.
Amar Avuna. Amar Avuna, Nachman Ravuna, right? Pirush Rashi Shavu also. There's Machlokas whether or not. What about Ovid? What about Imo? Etc.
At the end of the time.
Oh, you're right, correct. Here it is. Hadanakat matbil and below nakat malin. Okay. Good. Okay. So the first answer, of course, is a technical answer again, but a food for thought technical answer. In the sense that, we're talking about, it's a davar shava lakol. The ritva certainly didn't mean it to be, anything more than he says. I mean, it's a technical answer, but Bilin also, talking about Gioris in terms of Shvuya. So we're talking about, and Pusa Mivaskim Lashon, we're talking about the Ksuva and all of those things. So we're actually talking about it in the Keva. So, even though the larger topic is Ger Katan, right? So, it's either Shava Lakol or because of the Mishnah, and she only requires a tzvil. Good. It's a bit of a food for thought question, because you might want to ask the question, well, very good and fine, but isn't that... How'd you get over there?
Oh, I won't.
Okay, good.
Let's find out what Rebbe was looking for.
What? Right. I'll take it. I just want to make sure, I have to give myself a rationality, test. Was he really there all the time, but I thought he was there? That kind of thing.
Just to play with Rebbe, switch seats.
Right. No, you're playing with my mind all the time, but that's good. It's what keeps us going. So, of course, the question is, Mila is a positive requirement in Geirus, but you don't have it in a keva. What does that mean? In other words, or to say in another way, obviously Tefillah's role in Geirus is singular, in that it's the Shava Lakol requirement component in all of Geirus. Right. Hard to say that the Ikar is Mila or that half of it is Mila. Right, when tzvila, is the only thing that applies to both genders. Now, this, certainly the Ritva isn't saying that. Now, you could have said, we're not because only we're dealing with ketanos here. Let's say we're only dealing with zachar here. But the fact that the fact that nekeva is geirus shel tzvila shows you the role of tzvila in zachar and nekeva. Right, the Ritva isn't saying any of that. I'm saying some of that. Okay, but the second answer, but it's something to think about and something to talk about, is the geirus of a the keva and the zakar a different chalos? Doesn't seem like it, right? So that definitely, as a phenomenon, objectively, seems to put Mila a little bit on the periphery. It seems to say that you can't be a, and there are different ways to say this too. One is Mila is a chiyuv geirus, but it's a chiyuv only when it's possible. Right? Or you could say even more sharply, there's no din of Mila even as a chiyuv, but an RL cannot be a ger. Right, so it's a din hafkas arlos, and of course it could be important nafkamina, and then the question of connecting to what do you really need in bris Mila in general, is that hafkas arlos? Are there two dinim? Probably are two dinim. What about Nolad Mahol, and what about Atapastam Bris, and what about Meso Achid Machmas Mila? Again, these are massive topics, as you can imagine. What about the general comparison between Bris Mila and Milas Geirus? There's a Girsa, Beis Yosef had a Girsa in the Rambam, which we don't have in our Rambam, which is that, a Ger Katan should have Tvila, and then 8 days later have a Bris Mila. Obviously we don't have that, it's a Girsa. In general, if there are two different dinim, there are two different dinim, and that's interesting. There's still going to be an overlap, obviously, in the shame mila to some extent. If there's an overlap, so you also want to wonder, I'm just raising questions now, in what direction is that overlap? Meaning, the idea is that, it's kekot nishanola dami, so you have a bris mila. But it's not the din in geirus per se, it's a din in the kekot nishanola dami. Or is it the other way? And that is that every child that's born, and obviously the Mila is a din in Kedushas Yisrael, so it's almost like a Geirus. Not really, because he's born to a Jewish mother and has full Kedushas Yisrael without it, but in Rabbi Yaakov type, Kodeshim Yirechem and Mitzvah L'Hakdisho terms, as we've discussed in the past. So I'm suggesting if there is an overlap, and there are indications that there are, that overlap could still work in one of two directions. But the point is that you don't have this in the cave, obviously. So obviously there's no ikuv of Orel, and there's no ignoring of the kiyuv. Fine. But what does it say about, you know, the role of tefillah as opposed to the role of milah? Anyways, the again, mashal ma davar domeh, might as well get this in already, and that is hartzas damim. Right? Because as the sugya tells us in Kresis, there was hartzas damim at the time of Maimon Har Sinai, and that's what the Rambam is, you know, recording in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Aleph and Halacha Dalet. But we also know that there, you know, once there's no hartzas damim, it seems like there still was Kabbalah's Gerim. So the Gemara addresses this question in Kresis on Daf Tesam Aleph. What does the Gemara say? Robbie?
So it says that there are unless there's anything to do about it.
Kochem Kager. Apparently there's Geirus Lodoros. So apparently this is dispensable. Right?
Eventually will.
And in the future you'll bring it. But does it, are you a mixas ger until you bring it? Doesn't seem so. Now the same phenomenon is joined by some of the Rishonim, the Ramban in Yevamos and Tosas in Kiddushin, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. There they deal with the question, do you need mumchim or smuchim, something we'll talk again about next year in Sanhedrin, do you need smuchim for the Bezdin, or at least the Yochid Mumcha, if that's all you need, but let's assume for the moment the Bezdin, of Geirus. Do you or don't you? Right? Mishpat. Geirus is called Mishpat in the Sugya and Yevamos. That means that you need a Bezdin. Sounds like mumchim. We don't have mumchim, bizmaneinu. So the Ramban, Lishitaso, first Ramban in Sanhedrin and the Ramban in Perushal HaTorah discusses this. The Ramban one day says, oh, maybe this is an expanded what we call Shlichusayu. Okay, we'll talk about it in the beginning of next year. Shlichusayu desmuchim kavdin. Or inami. That's the last answer of the Ramban in Yevamos. But before that, he suggests what Tosis said earlier in Kiddushin Samach Beis and Beis and the Rabbeinu of Rabbeinu Nasanel, I think. And that is that there's a din of Doroseichem. You always have, which is fascinating in its own right. Is that just like a Metzias? The Torah says will always be Geirim, or it also could be a like a matter of principle. There has to be the ability to be Makabel Geirim in all generations. The Kedushas Yisrael has to be accessible, you know, to people. That's an idea, right? Anyways, the Tosis asks this question about Tosin Samach Beis and Beis and Kedushin. Discusses a question I want to talk about more fully in a minute. Anyway, Nira Dafka be Kabbalas Mitzvos Sudabin and Gimel, says Tosis and Kedushin. Aval Tfila Bechad Savi, like Tosis and Yevamos, I want you to look at. I want to discuss that in a minute. In Kvar Kibel Olav Mitzvos. Rai Mahid Yevamos. Kamar Hasam, who the Karle Baramoi, Mishum the Mold, Lotaval, Omribo, me, Lotaval, and Kirio, the Hiloro, Kari, the Yom of Tarachlitva, and K. Mashma, Pinanuping the Tfilas Kirio, the Gemara is a case about Kirios, about Tfilas Sandida, Mashma Lobin and Shlosh, Mir Kasha, Hodam, or Demoshivin, Osabamayim, Ad Savara, Shetam Rechachon, Yoshim Rachut, Mordim, Mithus Mithus Kalos, Mithus Kamuros, Parchabina Gimel, Shani, Tani Gimel, Amamash with Tvila Binan Gimel. So I'm dividing the Mitzvah and Gimel, Avola Akim. Nami Shomar, Hadaboy Gimel Hangu, Time of Shim Kabbalah's Mitzvahs. Basically, the Bali tells us the opinion, which we'll discuss more in a minute, that Tvila doesn't require Gimel except the Chatkula. The Gimel is required for Kabbalah's Mitzvah, which gives more stature to Kabbalah's Mitzvahs, I might add, but it also makes a certain. Well, in addition to the stature question, or separate from the stature question, you could say, oh, that's the role of Bezdin. Bezdin's role is that of, you know, a Maisa Bezdin, or a representation of Klal Yisrael, or Bezdin's role is more specifically Kabbalah Samitzvahs, because that's their domain. That's an interesting question. Anyway, then Tosa says, in Tomar, Mishum Kabbalah Samitzvahs Nami, Amai Binan Gimel, Hari Hodos, Avos, Iksibahim, Mishpat, etc. Dona Filichidi, Shlomar, okay. Tomar, in Kaili, boy mumchin kamok zeilus v'chavolos. Ishlomer also like the Ramban, shlichusayu avinan. O domar harav rabbeinu nesanel, the beger ksiv v'doroseche. Masha b'cholinim. Afagav she'enan mumchin. Al korkach hash v'leikam mumchin. drain sokhim, uldor sechim, mash, muldor sonam. Where does he get that from? That's Krisus daf Tesamin Aleph regarding Artsas Dam. So, again, some of the Achronim explain one of two things about both Mumchin and about Artsas Dam. Either it's Xeris HaKasuv, and it means that Geirus or Chalos Geirus, there are different levels of Geirus and they change. Okay, that's one way to say it. Then we have more types of Geirus to deal with. Or a better answer is that there are different types of components in games. Let's identify three for the moment for our purposes, even though for this purpose you could say two. The two are things that are required for Hechsher Geirus, meaning things that are indispensable in defining something and creating Geirus. That's one. And the other is Chiyuve Geirus, right, which are Ma'akev as a Chiyuv. Those are, number one, conceptually different. One is a positive requirement, the other is a chiyuv, that's ma'ake. But the other advantage, you know, that the achronim of the post can get from this is a chiyuv that is ma'ake, in theory, might only be ma'ake when it's possible. And it's not so much a chiyuv which is ma'ake as much as it is the rejection of the chiyuv is ma'ake. But lo yitzuyev, there's no opportunity, right, then it's not ma'akev. It's rejection, and there's no rejection when it's not possible. So some people explain that's the pshat in Hartzah's Dam. It's a component, but it's not a hechsher. It's a chiyuv, and it's ma'akev as long as it's possible. And maybe that's the pshat in Mumcha. Maybe you have to get the best kind of dayanim, or the most appropriate dayanim for Geirus. Not doing so is failing to, you know, to observe that requirement. Moreover, it, in a way, it's kind of like what you're proclaiming. You'd prefer a lesser Geirus? That's unacceptable. And therefore, this chiyuv, so you might say, maybe about Mila. Is Mila a requirement, a hechsher? Or is Mila a ma'akev? Or is Mila a chiyuv? But of course, Noshim don't have that chiyuv. And there's no rejection of the concept of Mila and as a component of Geirus in Dashim. Of course, the question would be, and what would you say about, you know, somebody, let's say, who, you know, some other person who's not rejecting, you know, but doesn't have the ability to do Mila. You know, hemophiliac, you know, Misha Meso, Mesachiv, Machmas Mila. You know, things of that sort. Or Nolad, you know, Mahol, etc. Again, I want to go into all the details of it. But clearly, what you could say is that the role of Mila is simply different. If the role of Mila is different, then the idea that we would say Matbilin Oso, Al Das Bez, we would emphasize Tfila, and we would say, you know what, it's not just that Lamaisa, you know, you don't have this Benekemos. But the fact that the only thing that both Zachar and Akeva have is Tvila, is a way of saying this is a Hechsher Mila. This is what's Goreim or Gomer. I'm sorry, the Geirus, not me. The Geirus. Whereas Mila is a Ma'akev, the Torah is Orel. Orel is Ma'akev, or it's a Chiyuv, the rejection of which is Ma'akev. But, you know, that's a different role, a different function. For example, would there be other Nafkamina regarding the requirement of Gimel? Do you need the Gimel for Mila? For Tvila? Are you Mechalik in either direction? That's a big issue. We'll speak about the Tvila part in just a minute. Some Rishonim here mention the requirement of Gimel and Mila, right? But the requirement of Gimel, for example, the Rama mentions Gimel and Tvila, doesn't mention Gimel and Mila. Other Rishonim mention Gimel and Mila and Tvila. Other Rishonim mention Gimel only for Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. Okay? Now, the requirement of Gimel could be a good thing, a bad thing. It could be, it could show that's the real Din Geirus, or it could show it's a prop that you need to, you know, to kind of build up something which isn't the Hagdara. We'll see. Again, the Kabbalah Mitzvah part of this topic, you know, becomes important as well. What about the order? So, as we know, there's a huge debate in the Rishonim regarding the order of Mila and Tvila. Ramban in Yavamo says you could switch the order. The Rajba strongly rejects that idea. Bali Tosis in Yavamos try to prove from Uberes, right, you know, that doesn't need, the child doesn't need a separate Geirus, the issue we talked a little bit about last time. So you see from there that the Tevilah can come before the Milah, because you have Tevilah, and then you have the Milah, you know, during, you know, that's a case where the Milah Yisrael and Geirus come together. That's the assumption of Bali Tosis in that. The Rajva says it's a terrible assumption, and it's totally not true. Maybe the sugya of Meuberes, which says that the child doesn't need, you know, any further geirus because of the tefillah, you know, applying, maybe that's only in the keva, says the Rajva. But in Zachar, right, you have to do mila and tefillah. First mila, then tefillah. That's the Rajva's shita in Yavamah. That's a remarkable shita. Now the Ramban says, you see from that whole sugya, that you never need mila kodim tefillah. You can have tefillah and then mila. Right, the Bali Tosus in Yavamos say the order is ma'akev, seem to say mila kodem l'tefila when it's possible, but when it's not possible, then it's tefila again. Maybe the idea, their idea is it's a din of arel, you know. So just like in the keva, you know, where it's not ma'akev, so here too, the, you know, the ubar who's getting this geirus, it's either, they don't say it's not ma'akev at all. They say the order's not ma'akev under those conditions. You could have gone further and said, well, it's not ma'akev at all, because the geirus is taking place, you know, for an ubar, even though it's an ubar zachar. Ubar zachar right now, there's no din of mila. Okay, that's an interesting place to draw the line. Of course, if we take the view that we spoke of last time, which is that Hainu Revi, when the Gemara says Hainu Revi say, then what the Gemara really meant was not that, oh, just like we were saying before, there's no chatzitza and there's geirus through this tevila for an ubar, right? We're saying the same thing now, even without the din of chatzitza, because Hainu Revi said. Or some say ubar yerech ima. Rather, maybe we should be operating with the sugya na'im chesam aleph. I'm sorry, in tzadi yivav amadeis, which basically seems to say that there's an iser eshes ach mi'imo, and the idea is not that this is a geirus, but that this is born from kedushas Yisrael from the mother. Aye, what's the Hainu Revi say? So that becomes a little challenging. So I was trying to suggest the other time, but the Zecher Yitzchak says this, the Chenos Tshuva Zecher Yitzchak. And some other Achronim say it. I think it has roots clearly in the Rishonim, just not Tosis in Yavamos and the Rishonim who have this discussion about the Seder and the role of Mila in Geirus, and certainly not also Tosis in Sanhedrin and Tosis in Ksuvas here, where they're trying to prove Ger Katan from Uberes, right? But what I was trying to explain last time is, A, maybe the Kirby Kurva, even though they are gay, I was trying to say that maybe that's only B'Tomim. Are they related to the mother? Are they related to the future children? Where do you draw the line? But again, this idea of them walking, you know, hand in hand together over the Rubicon, and therefore keeping their previous, you know, Mishpacha status, is something that you could say. But that's not what I'm saying right now. What I'm saying right now is, of course, if you think that this isn't Geirus at all, but that it is Nolad Mikdushas Yisrael, Me'ein Shandola Mikdusha, so then what's Hainu Revi say? So I think what you need to say is that the Hainu Revi say is what tells you that we're not stuck on Horasa Shalom Mikdusha. Right? Because, again, according to the more standard view, which is that, I don't know if the Zecher Yitzchak interprets this way or not, I have to really look at it again. I'm not sure if this is what Achronim say or this is what I'm saying. I don't want to stick them with my you know, idea. But I think the idea is as follows. You have to overcome, and the raya that you have to overcome it is the fact that the majority view of the Rishonim is that it's not overcomeable, right? Namely, the fact that it's Horaso Shalo Bikdusha. Kuleidaso is Bikdusha. Question is, what's Koveya, the, you know, the Horaso or the Leidaso when it comes to this particular issue? So maybe the idea of Hainu Revise is the idea that if it wasn't for Hainu Revise, or according to some, and maybe there's a difference here, Ubar Yerahimo, so what you might have said was, well, everything is frozen, you know, at the moment of Horaso Shalom Bikdusha. You have this ubar, it grows inside the mother, but it's the same ubar, it's the same chalos, it's the same identity, as it was when Horasa Shalom Bekdusha. What was growing in the mother? You know, a little non-Jew, a little Benoach, a little maybe future Gartosha, perhaps. You know, but that's what it is. And it's Horasa Shalom Bekdusha. You want that child to get to become a Yisrael, right? You need an act of Gerus, right? But maybe what we're saying when we say Hainu Revise is what we're saying is that's not true. We don't have to freeze frame the Ubar, right? The Ubar is developing along with the mother. So even though we're not saying that the Maisa Tvila of the mother, the Maisa Gerus of the mother is chal to the child. What we can say is, it's not like, oh, there's this ubar, it's in the mother, it's getting all those good nutrients and, you know, not being exposed to alcohol and, you know, all those good things, but basically it's the ubar inside the mother, the physical mother. What's going on with the mother in terms of her change of status, Kedushas Yisrael, etc.? That part is irrelevant to the ubar now, because that was dictated by the moment of Haraso. Shalom Bekdusha. The next time you're going to be able to change the Ubar's relationship to Kedushas Yisrael and or even to the changes of the mother, right, is going to be when it's an independent entity. Then it's going to be too late also in some respect. Right? The answer is no. Heinu Revise. That's not true. This ubar growing inside the mother is really connected to the chalos status of the mother. So when the mother becomes a Yisraelis after the horaso, before the leidaso, then the leida is taking place, even from the ubar's point of view, from a chalos, you know, aim sheyesh la kedushas Yisrael. Jewish child. Let's start planning for the bris, but for different reasons. Or let's start, you know, looking for shiduchim, or enrolling them into, Shiva College, maybe, I don't know. Whatever. What? No, this is my subtle way of like a vote of confidence. That was like a plan. I think all year, like, how could I, you know, project confidence, like, you know, without hammering people over the head with it? I said, you know, well, We'll find the opportunity. Okay. So So that's maybe the pshat in Heinu Revise. That might be different than Uber Yerachimo, might not. Actually, the Rashba discusses whether Uber Yerachimo is important to the seder of the Mila Tvila question. But yeah.
So I was just wondering regarding the chiyuv, positive chiyuv, that Rebbe says before the grid's malach and the Igor's grid. If I recall correctly, he does say that the positive chiyuvim, if they're not accomplished because of onsen, even there's still some kind of.
You mean he has a piece in the? I don't remember. And he was about chiyuvei geiros.
Yeah, about carbon. Right?
So oh yeah, and he says this thing about how it's done.
Yeah, he says that they're missing kedusha sar begabe kachin. That's what he ends up saying.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not ma'akiv in the geiros. It's not something that's definitional. At the same time, there is a chalos that you're missing. I think a lot of the Ramacham, they're shown to seem to be that way.
Yeah, well, that's fine. You could say that. I don't think you have to say that.
So is there a reason behind that? Why certain parts of the Kedushas...
Well, I guess he's trying to explain why it would be that you'd still have the chiyuv of Asavavah. Any. And, whether or not it would matter. I mean, you're allowed to. You are a ger. You are a ger gomor in terms of being able to participate in kach. Right? I think what we're trying to explain is, but why? I think the nafkamina would be. I don't remember the piece. I have to look at it again. I'm guessing that I read it. I just don't recall it fully. Is that would there be la'asid lavo that you'd have to bring that carbon first? That's not so clear. It's clear in the Gemara in Kresis that you have to bring the carbon.
Right.
And that totally makes sense and doesn't prove anything. It just means you have a chovas carbon, just like you have a chovas carbon for the chatoim and the shkagos that you're going to owe. You know, and so on. The issue is, until you bring that carbon, is that ma'akev b'dieved, that would be the most dramatic, or even l'chatchila, from involvement in any other aspects of the carbon.
It sounds like, I think it says that you can't do anything until you bring
the right, so if I think that's not clear in the Gemara at all. If that is, if there's evidence that that's the case, then it can't just be a chovas carbon, it's got to be a chovas carbon that limits you in terms of your full rights and status, you know, in Olam HaKarbonos until that point. Right? So then that makes sense to say it that way. But that doesn't take away Kihuzer from what we were talking about. But I'm glad you brought it up. That's a good point. Nuance. I think that's the issue. If you find that it's simply a Chovas Karbon like other Chovas Karbonos, then great. If you find that when it becomes possible, it's then ma'akev other things in Karbonos, even the Chatchila, certainly b'di'eved, then it's a shear in like Kedushas Yisrael Legabe Karbonos. Okay. So let's get back to again, there are people, let me just say this, who understood that Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs is that too. It's a Chatchila. It's a chiyu, you know. Let's say in the case of katan, we're going to document the shitas regarding katan because that's really our sugya. Maybe when it's not possible, it's not ma'akev, right? It's a chiyu, not a heksher. It also may be a special din in kabbalah sal mitzvos that that's true, and not rejecting them if that's the ikar, or in geiris katan, kabbalah katan. Okay. The other answer. So we had the you know, getting back to the Ritva. So what about that second point where he says, one more time, Aminadab, that, you know, it's whether you have the gears of Gomor or not, but that second one. He says, no, what we mean Mabilin, we mean Geirus. But Geir Shemol below Tabal is nothing, right? Read that line again? Yeah. So what did you make of that? I think you could read it very, very innocently. You know, I think it might be wrong to read it very, very innocently as saying, well, we don't really mean tefillah, we mean, you know, the full package. And since the order usually is milah and then tefillah, we mean you have to finish, because until you finish, you have nothing. Right? But again, just like I was saying a moment ago, there might be, and this I think he does mean more, certainly the Meiri talks about the Seder, if you have the Gersa of Gemar and so on, you might mean more, and that is, in one respect, the Ritva thing, the word Madbilin here is interchangeable with Megayrin, right? Why is it so? So I'm saying, maybe for technical reasons, because until you finish the tefillah, the milah doesn't do you any good. Not everybody agrees with that either. There are people who believe in this Mikzas Geirus idea, even between the milah and the tefillah. We'll talk about that. But, right. If it means something more, if what we're saying is that the mila is a chiyuv and it's an ikuv, or it's an ikuv of an orel, and so on, right? But it's not a coincidence that the tefila is final. Again, let me go back a second. For the Ramban, you could always switch the order. Right, and not just in the case of Mubaras either. But let's say, according to the Rajba, that there needs to be Mila and then Tvila. So what does that mean? So the Rajba has a little lashon, and it's very lishitaso, that the Ikar Geirus is Tvila. That's why it has to be the end. There could be another reason why Tvila has to be at the end. A more technical reason, this is going to be relevant to the third point of the Ritva. What's that? For the Rajba. Who says that the order is important and that tefillah has to be the gemar, I'm saying it might be a fundamental thing. And it's consistent with being the keva, and so on. Ellie? Yeah, okay. Number one, it's a kind of tov l'shar tziyad if he's still... Yeah, if he's an orel. Yeah. Correct. And even if you didn't want to say it quite so sharply, Ellie... What?
It continues to be like a process.
It's a process, and maybe there's no tziruf for the tzvila, you know, if it doesn't immediately result in a... I think all three things. A, tov v'shar tziyado. B, it's a kind of a process, and this is just the way that the process works. That second point may be related to the third point, and that is, there's no, we'll call it, kolsa kinyano, if you will, you know, meaning Mila is always with you. It's a physical process. The evidence of it, you know, we even talked when we talked about Osin Mitzvah Patam and Mitzvah, you know, we talked about the Marachar Zeruah, about the idea that, you know, it isn't just a remnant that it's almost like you continue the mitzvah smila in some perspectives, wild things, right? So right, but the point is that tzvila, you know, mashal lamad davar doma a little bit, you know, chuppah before kiddusha, right? It might be a process that needs to go in a certain way. It doesn't make sense otherwise. Everybody's going to agree that if you do the chuppah before the kiddushin, you haven't accomplished anything result-wise until you do the kiddushin. The question is it still sitting around in mitzurah in that different order, or does it only make sense and have a chalos of some sort, you know, against the background of what came before it? So in a way, the next line of the ritva, keep if you don't mind, Aminadav, go ahead. He wants to say, you know, in this part of it, the opposite. In other words, of course the molin oso not bezin. The chiddush is, but bilin oso all not bezin. Because this has to wait around until Rabbi Yosef, until the Mecha, until we finally, you know. So that the Mila can wait around is not a big deal. But the Tzvila can wait around when it's invisible and it's just an action that took place on him in the past, but there's no physical remnant, or what I'm calling, there's no Kulsa Kinyano, right? So this idea, what I'm saying is, he means it very specifically. And I think there are two points in the Ritva. Number one, this idea of kolsa kinyano, you know, being dependent, a kind of kolsa kinyano. Everybody knows what I'm talking about? Say kolsa kinyano? Yeah? Right? No. Oh. Yeah, Makadish Anisha. So the Gemara says in the third paragraph of Kiddushin, Makadish Anisha, Lintas. It comes up in Kiddushin too. Makadish Anisha. And if you're Makadish with Kesef, so then there's no problem, because if if you back out, you have to repay the money. This, so it's, you know, even a feel nisaklo amos, it really isn't nisaklo amos, right? So it's not a problem. But if you're mekadesh nisha with a shtar lachar lamed yom, and before lamed yom the shtar gets destroyed, then it's lo kolsa kinyano. And what exactly that means, is that it didn't tziruf, or does it show that the late kinyan, the whole kinyan is really later, and the mice is early, the pu'ula is earlier, but the mice is later, or the chalos is certainly later, But anyways, you don't have the problem with the mafreyas. If you do ma'afshim lachalam, it's not an issue. But this is the din, not only in kedushim, but in kinyan, and you have it also, the shoch parazu, right, has to be in the chatzer, right, and on day 30. Otherwise, it's a kolsa kinyano problem. So, do you have kolsa kinyanim in all kinyanim? Maybe kinyan suda is different, the meiri, whatever. It's a whole big, interesting, and fascinating topic. But, in a way, that's kind of what the Ritva is saying here about the Geirus. He's saying the Tvila has a kolsa kinyanim problem. But that assumes something about Geirus, treating it almost like a kinyan, but also about
and your content.
Rabbi Yosef, and you know, we deal with called limchas. Because if you think that Higdili, you call him Limchos, is just the din in the Hagdara of Zachin, or, you know, it's the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, but it's not the conditional nature of the actual Geirus of Ger Katan, then what's called Sukanyano? Right? So are we saying it isn't a problem in the end of the day because Geirus doesn't work that way, or because Rabbi Yosef doesn't work that way, or are we saying despite the fact that they do? Right, this goes to the question whether or not this is a geirus which is an abeyance all the whole time until that end, or you can rewrite history and revise it, though you don't anticipate it at all, and even when it happens, but it's not because the geirus is an abeyance. Right, that goes partly to the question we're talking about in the Rambam Nechus Malachim, why he puts in Nechus Malachim. Other people don't believe in Rabbi Yosef at all. A third group of people think that it's inconsistent with Geirus Daraisa, either per se or because of the concern that it might happen. What about Hasra Safek? What about, you know, Lemafreya? We're going to talk about those issues in just a second. So there's an assumption of that too. But I'm interested in the bigger question because it highlights, in a way, how different Mila is and Tefillah is. Now, that factor may be another reason for the Rajba, but I don't think that's a pshat in the Rajba. You could have said you need Mila before Tefillah because, that's why I'm giving the example of Chuppah and Kiddushin, because, you know, for the Tefillah, it's not Kolsa Kinyano, you know, by the time you do the Mila. It's a Tziruf problem. Not necessarily because this is the Yisod of Gemar Geirus, this is the one that in the Keva has two, or this is fundamentally, you know, there are things that, I'm sorry, I'm rushing and I'm saying a lot of things, which requires, but there are, you know, there are things that commend Mila, and there are things that commend Tefillah in this process. Right? The Mila things we really, really know, of course, you know, first mitzvah, you know, the Kedushas Yisrael component, Mitzvah Seishesh Bokares, you know, the Ikuv of Korban Pesach, all these things, you know, the nice things that you could say about Bris Mila, the amazing things to say about Bris Mila. Actually, Eliot has some, you know, additional things to say, right? You know, Bris Mila, you know, kind of, you know, also jumpstarts, you know, the father's obligations to his son, right? We talked about the Abudram, other things. There are a lot of, you know, really inspiring things about Mila. The idea that Mila is a critical component in defining Geirus, you know, makes a lot of sense. On the other hand, it doesn't apply to Nekeva, you know, and so on and so forth. Tevila has its own things that commend it, right? Tevila is about Tahara, right? Tevila is how you invisibly transform yourself. You know, the Rambam's famous comment about Tefillah b'mei Adas, you know, in the end of Sefer Tahara, in the Pichos, you know, Mikvos. But, you know, it's the whole process of Tahara, you know, is dependent on Tefillah b'mikvah. So, you know, which of these is more central? Are they just different? Are they the same, but they're different? You know, they're physically different? That's really the issue that we're discussing. So, what needs to be done is to figure out, like, is Kabbalah Mitzvah more connected to Tefillah than to Mila? Aside from the fact that it applies, you know, even to Nekeva, maybe. Is there a requirement of Bezdin more in Tefillah than there is in Mila? In addition to the question of the order and the Sugya of Gerkatan and so on. So this is a whole big topic. Regarding the question of Gimel, yeah, for some take a question.
In the last sentence of Ritzvah, isn't he also assuming there's no proactive requirement of Mila? Also, Med, he just says that it just has to be there when he.
Maybe. I see. Because you're doing the. Well, you're not really.
In the same way that Tevila might have had to have happened when he becomes a Ger. By Mila, you need a proactive Maisa.
That goes a little on Tavis Dam Gris question. Tavis Dam, right?
Right. I hear. Maybe. It's hard to know again because this is what we would have said, but I hear it. Just one second. Yeah, there's another day in Shita Bukabetsis I just wanted to mention. Anybody see it? That this is really fitting too. Gerkotan Madbilin and not Malin. Why? Ellie. Yeah. No. I was really going to call the one that was there before, but he got that guy left, walked out. So I think I'll call on you. There's namesake, right? Double ganger.
Yeah.
You know, Mubarak, the twin. The twin.
I am a twin.
Oh yeah, I know. I heard about that.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, you got a mazel tov, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That wasn't me, but
no. Well, you're a twin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's such an amazing thing. Okay, anyways, so Shita Gubetz has a remarkable line that it's hard to say Zachin Ladim Shalom Bafana by Mila. There's only other things I gave it a look at in the Shita Gubetz. No? I gave you a few Shita Gubetz?
Yeah.
So Mila is not a schus because Yesh Batzar. So it's Madbilin also Das Bezdin, because only the Tefillah is a Schutz. Some people don't enjoy the Tefillah so much either, I have to say. That's how I hear. I understand that totally. But anyway, the Mila obviously is Yeshua Tzar. Of course, whether or not Mila is Zaken or Chavin depends a little bit on some of the topics that we did previously. Right? Objective or subjective, you know, Zaken. Right? It's good for you. It also depends a little bit on whether Mila is a Tikkun or a Kilkol. Right? Which is the famous sugya, and we've talked about it in Shabbos. And of kuf vav mali tikun mana mali tikun gavra, and the Meiri there, and the Chinuch and the Rambam in Mor Nebuchim, you know, who debate about, you know, what is Mila, and I think the real answer is a dialectic. But what is Mila? Mila is, you know, kilkul atzmo, you know, because you're sacrificing something for the Rabbonu Shel Olam, you're giving something up. Or it's tikkun atzmo, because you were born incomplete, and as a human being, you know, it's important that you take that first initiative to strive for perfection. And this seems to be partially debate between Tam and Mitzvah's debate between the Chinuch and the Rambam, but really a Shakla Vatari and the Gemara debate, when the Gemara talks about whether or not Mila is tikkun or kilkul, then the Meiri there, I say, kind of joins that very specifically. I think, you know, that one can make the argument that if, you know, being mekalkel l'shem a greater tikkun is itself a kind of a tikkun, so it's both. But anyways, the question here is A, what is Mila? Is it kilkel or tikkun? And the question also is, even if it's tikkun, you know, is it the subjective tsar, you know, he doesn't want it, do it because no anan sadi, or again, like the Rajva, objective zaken. Anyway, what's more fascinating than all of that is, so how do you get, once you introduce that, if you think it's so, and I think other Rishonim would disagree, for the reasons we just discussed, so how do you ever have Ger Katan? If it's on Tzvos? So, anybody have that line that should have about this open?
Tzar.
Tzar.
Search for the word Tzar, can come up.
Mitzvah? I have my, I don't know. I don't know how searching.
Yeah,
I did the old-fashioned way, you know, every word, hours and hours, you know, bad script and all.
Reminds me of Rebbe's first year in the Rosh Year. First year. He crutches back in my day.
Oh yeah, that was the first one. Yeah, that was a different one, but yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, so the first part is mechudash enough, but the second part is addressing the question, well, haven't you just sunk the whole Ger Katan by saying that the Mila part was done, you know, not as a schus? So the answer is, we need lemaisa. There's a milas mitzvah there. So as long as the tfila is which is the gemar geirus. One more time, Hanan, just the language again. So that's a fascinating thing. So can you argue for equal roles of Mila and Tvila and still say that what Shita Gubetis just said there? And just put the whole thing on the Gemar or Ezes Chus? Or do you also need implicitly to say that, you know, the reason why you can get away without a Mila Shel Schus, and the reason they can get away just with the fact that there is a physical Mila, is because, anyways, the Mila part is Betoris Chov, or Betoris that it shouldn't be RL, but it's the Tvila part, which is really the Davar HaMegayer, to begin with. I'm not sure. But I just know that this needs to be discussed, or raised. Okay? If anybody feels strongly that they want to say something about that, I'm open to it. But, okay, good. That is the Shita Mekubetzes. It's a remarkable line. Okay, let's talk about the requirement of three for a moment. I have somebody coming to see me at 1:30, and I have to leave a little time for... Oh, he left. Do you also want to speak to me? Or? Okay. So, the let's talk about Gimel for a minute, and let's talk about Kabbalah Solmitzvahs for a minute. So in terms of the requirement of Gimel, maybe I should leave, skip that. That's a big machlokas rishonim. We already know that the Bali Tosis, both in Yavamos and in Kedushin that I just read, Kedushin Samach Beis Beis. I gave you the one in Yavamos, right? May I have a base? How about the Gimel for Tvila?
Also Shabbos.
What?
And also Shabbos.
Yeah. And Shabbos, yeah. That you don't need.
Depends.
You need for Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs, but you don't need for the Tefillah.
Also, in Kabbalah,
or for the Tefillah, you only need L'chatchila and not B'di'evet. Oh. What is the Rambam's view? But basically, the Gemara in Mem Hamad Bey sounds that way, because the Gemara says Tefillah's Nida, Tefillah's Kiryo, Keri, these things will substitute. There are two ways to learn the Gemara. One is, if you've done Tefillah's Nida and Tefillah's Keri, Mistama, you had a proper Gerus. However, Gerus is supposed to be accomplished. That's a Chiddush way to read the Gemara. That's not the simple way to read the Gemara. If you're convinced that you need Gimel, the Tvila, then the only way to read the Gemara pretty much is that way. Namely, if you're already doing, if you're plunging into the mikvah for Nida, for Keri purposes, it's because you had a proper Gerus, and a proper Gerus means that at some point you had a Tvila b'fnei Gimel. Because that's just ABCs of what Gerus is about. But the Pashtus of the Gemara is that the Gemara is saying you don't need Gimel for Tefillah. But the Gemara says on Memba Medeis that a Ger requires Gimel, Mishpat Ksiv Bei. Right, so Tosis' answer is Shaini Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. The other Gemara about Talmid Chachamim waiting outside of the Mikvah, Lechat Chila. Okay. The Rif, do you get a chance to look at the Rif? Yeah. So the Rif asks the same question. What does the Rif say?
The way we read it.
Excellent. You're already on the right track. Because when somebody says the way that we read it, what does it mean? It means that it's very unclear what he says. Right? It's not clear what he says. Even though somebody shown him quoted the Rif as if what he said was pasha. And they understood it clearly. And others kind of said, we're not sure what he means. Like you. Okay. What do the people who quoted clearly think that it meant?
The Yosef says that.
Yeah, lechatchila you need it, b'di'evet you don't. Okay, so it sounds like that b'di'evet is a little bit important, because the language of the Rif, we're not going to read it inside right now because we're very late.
Sounds like you can assume that you already did something b'di'evet.
No, but it sounds the b'di'evet sounds like we're makbid in terms of treating him as a full Jew, and also allowing him to marry Bas Yisrael. Like, those aren't small things. Maybe is that part the Chatchila B'di'evet, or that's the B'di'evet. Moreover, the language in the Rif doesn't really sound completely like the Chatchila B'di'evet. What does it sound like?
From what I recall, the B'di'evet is that we're being so mechatic, he must have already had a Tefila.
It sounds like we really think that if he's, if he's telling you, I did Nida, I did this, whatever, we believe him that he did a tefillah. Not what I said before, if he's acting that way, it shows him must have had a tefillah b'nigah. No. We believe him, and his tefillah, l'kirio, or l'nida, is good. But, l'inyan, to marry or to treat him as a full-fledged Jew, that's the language of the Rif, for that, we require, that's a there's a l'chatchila geirus, it sounds like, not, it's not, L'chatchila or b'di'evet, how do we accept the geirus? There's a l'chatchila geirus and a b'di'evet geirus. The b'di'evet geirus is the fact that he did a tefillah, which we believe. The l'chatchila geirus, these are two types of geirios, not two perspectives on how one should be megaya, right? The b'di'evet, the l'chatchila geirus requires that the tefillah be b'fnei gimel, right? That's what it sounds like. And that's also how the Ramban seemed to have read it. Right? The Ramban says you read Gimel Lechatchila, Bemila and Tvila, the Ramban Chidushim al Atar. B'diabed, you can get away with Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, and Kabbalah Smila Utvila. The Ramban is a little bit different, but it's similar. There's something going on. What's on the Chatchila Geirus and the B'diabed Geirus? Right? Oh. What about the Rambam? The Rambam Nisurei Bia Yudalid Bav seems to require Tefillah Bifnei Gimel. Right? B'diabed Balayla will work. But it sounds like Gimel is a Lechatchila and a B'diabed requirement. The Ramach understood that the Rambam disagrees with the Rif and asks against him. The Magid Mishnah at some point in Halacha Tess says, the Rambam sounds a little like the Rif. Because there the Rambam, seems to say that in a little bit of a different variation, right? If the guy seems to be behaving like a Jew and we see that he's Tovel, she's Tovel Anida, he's Tovel Kirio, etc., so mostly we'll accept that as evidence that there was a proper Geirus, except vis-a-vis marrying a Bat Yisrael. That's what the Magid Mishnah says, this sounds a little bit like the Rif. And it does, but it isn't the Rif. The Ramban is not the Rif, the Rambam is not the Rif. Both the Rambam and Ramban sound like the Rif. There's something called a Lechatchila Geirus, or Lechatchila conditions, and B'diabed conditions, which affect possibly how fully we treat him as a Jew, but especially marrying a Bas Yisra. So this idea is part of a much bigger issue, which I've mentioned in the past, and which I want to mention again, and that is partly the Rav's Mahalach, I think others say it as well. The idea that this comes sort of a miktsas gates. But before we get to that, again, I made very short of this, it's much more in the language of the Rishonim, I just don't have time to do it. Let's talk a minute about Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs. Right? Do you need Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs or not? So I already mentioned the Rambam sheet is complicated. He inserts Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs as a matter of fact in his Haggadah in the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, because he's Surah Bia. Right? Halacha Aleph, Halacha Dalid. But Halacha Yud Zayin sounds like Bidiyah, but you don't need it. In the beginning of the Perek Yud Dalid until Halacha Zayin, it sounds like Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos is a linchpin. It's necessary. So there were those who interpreted the Rambam based on Halacha Yud Zayin as saying it's a Chatchila but not B'diavad, it's not Ma'akev. The Rav thought, as I mentioned before, that was absurd, and that the Rambam, doesn't emphasize it so much because it's so obvious, not because it isn't required, but because it's inconceivable that it isn't part of the definition, and that there's a difference between the tixiut, we could call it, the modian lo mitzvos kalos v'chamuros, the actual event of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, as opposed to the substance of it, the assumption of it, or some clear indication of it. And other Achronim disagree. But it does seem like there could be an Afgamina that if there's no Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, that we are certainly hesitant to let him loose on Bnos Yisrael, maybe even something more than that. The question is why. Now, again, just to fill in the other shittos before we get to that, according to Tosfos Sanhedrin, Samachesun Beis, and according to some interpretations, everybody's bothered by, Higdili Cholom Nimchos. They're bothered by two things. Number one, what impact does this have on the Geirus? Is it Geirus in abeyance? Right? Both conceptually, if the Geirus is Doraisa, and pragmatically, if it's Doraisa. Namely, are we going to go forward and then we're going to revise all of history in a Geirus Doraisa? So somebody showed him, say, in a Hanami, that's the reason why the whole thing is Rabban. And others like the Ritva and Rajba say, the default is this person grows up in a Jewish home, Jewish environment, they're going to want to stay Jews. It can happen otherwise. We need to give the choice otherwise. But it doesn't affect not the chalos of Geirus Daraisa, not the practicalities either. Okay. Well, part of this question is, to what extent do we think... But there are two problems. So that's one problem. The second problem is, well, Lamaisa, you know, when does this take place? And what are the mechanics of it? I mean, as a katan, there's no Kabbalah Sol, there's no, you know, Mecha. So what, the first second that the person's a gadol, how does that work? So one day in the Ritva is a Nochanami. That, you know, transition from katnus to gadolus, that's the window. There's a day in Shitu Gubetza, Shiti Shana B'Shem Arayvit. It's a year. Okay, wow. A year. Where do we get the concept of a year? Oh, we have concept of a year and other things. Right? Including, you know, Isha's things. So a year is a chalozman. Fascinating. Others say, like Rajba, Nihu Gisraelis is the equivalent of asserting or assenting to all of this. And others say that it's a right of refusal, not a need for assent. Again, I'm shortchanging all these things. These are all very important shittas. The Yamsha Shlomo has this discussion, and does the guy need, again, because I mentioned the other day, you know, it can happen, Lamaisa, the person doesn't even know that they're a Gerkata. You know. And so the first time he goes to Shul, or he didn't refuse, or he has to know he has the right to refuse. Okay. There are those who say, in the Chachmei Sora, no, you got the whole thing wrong. The whole thing is that you need Kabbalas O Mitzvos. You only get that when you're a Gadol. So, until you actually have that Kabbalas O Mitzvos, there's the right. From the time the person is a Gadol until their Mekabel O Mitzvos, they can refuse. If the Kabbalas O Mitzvos takes place right away, that's the end of it. And otherwise, it's until that point. So that group of Rishonim clearly thinks that the din of Mecha is a din in Kabbalas O Mitzvos, as Tosfos in Sanhedrin Samachesed Beis does as well. Now, even then, it's an interesting question, because what was the Geirus until now without the Kabbalas O Mitzvos? Now, these Rishonim are saying you need Kabbalas O Mitzvos in every Geirus, even Geir Katan. But then the question is, well, so what do you have until then? So there's Machlokas of Rishonim, again, what we said before, do we really look, you know, at, you know, this is an abeyance, you know, question mark Geirus, or not? Even the Ramban and some of the other Rishonim discussing the question of Knas and Ksuva. Right? Is there a machlokas in the Gemara about Knas and Ksuva? Whether you wait until post Rav Huna period to give the Knas and the Ksuva? Does everybody agree about that? Or is there a debate? No, you give the Ksuva earlier, you have to wait for the Knas. You give the Knas earlier, you have to wait for the Ksuva. Why do I care about that? It could be those are local issues about but it also might be symptomatic of the question that we're talking about. Is Igdilu Yecholim Limchos, right, something which, a contingency that can happen, but an extraneous one? Or does it affect, in some respect, the abeyance, does it leave an abeyance the Geirus? The Me'iri has a chiddush in which he says that even if there'll be Mecha'a, the Drabanan, certainly, that took place earlier, we're going to leave them alone. I'm not going to say that stam yenam lamafreya. As opposed to the Rishonim who say, because there's a possibility of Yecholim Limchos, the only thing we're going to allow now in terms of Yisrael is that there's no stam yenam. Those are two extremes. The Meiri has such an idea, as I said. And it's just played out on the Rabbana level, but you wonder, is it Miktsas Geirus until this point? That's why I'm asking two questions. Is Ger Katan a case where there's no Kabbalas on Mitzvos? And even if there is Kabbalas on Mitzvos, is it a Gloy Nosul Mafrei that there was always Kabbalas on Mitzvos? Or is it a later Kabbalas on Mitzvos which reflects that you can have a Geirus at some point without Kabbalas on Mitzvos, even to the people who require an eventual Kabbalas on Mitzvos? Okay. On the other hand, the Rishonim would think that Higdili Cholim Limchos is about Zachin, or it's about Kfiya, which may be the Pshat in the Rambam Nuchas Malachim, or the ones who claim that the Rif and originally thought the Rambam doesn't believe in it at all, and there's no Igdiyu Cholim Limchos, So the question is, where is the Kabbalas al Mitzvos here? So is this a Geirus without Kabbalas al Mitzvos? And if that's the case, is it because it's a different Kalos Geirus? Maybe the Geirus of a Katan is just different, like we said. Or does it say something about the nature of Kabbalas al Mitzvos generally? Oh, so what might that be about? So the Rebbeinu Kreskes has a line. You see it? Right?
It says, when filling the Akiv when they're a gadol, Katan with Kabbalas al Mitzvos is never going to be the Akiv because he's not capable of doing so.
That's not how Rebbeinu Kreskes says it, right? That's how kind of the Ritva says it. Well, the Ritva will talk about it in a minute. I thought Rebbeinu Kreskes had an added chiddush, where he said you really only need Kabbalas al Mitzvos for a gadol, not for a katan. But not because of the capacity to have it or not have it, but because of negating or neutralizing Tamisa.
Oh, yeah. Tamisa.
Right?
Yeah.
So basically what emerges from Rebbeinu Kreskes is that Kabbalas al Mitzvos is a requirement, but it's a secondary requirement to make sure that the guy is serious about Tamisa. Because maybe he doesn't really want to be a ger if he really knows what's... It's almost like a chashash or a safek. Maybe he's not really, you know, serious. Or he doesn't really know what he's getting himself into. It isn't per se a formal requirement or a positive requirement. It's to allay our suspicions or to overcome Tom Otamisa. That's a Rebbeinu Kreskes. Therefore, there's a good reason, one which reflects broadly on what Kabbalas al Mitzvos does, that Kabbalas al Mitzvos is going to apply only to Gadol and not to Katan. That's different than saying what I was saying before, which I still stick by as a possibility, which is that Geirus Katan is a different Chalos than Geirus Gadol. He's not saying that. He's saying the Mechayiv of Kabbalas al Mitzvos is something that makes sense in Gadol and doesn't extend to Katan. To say that, he has to limit what Kabbalas al Mitzvos is. The Ritva, on the other hand, before we get to that, the Shita Yishana in Shita Gubetzis has a line, I believe, where they say, when you just said, another idea, that is, Kabbalas al Mitzvos is ma'akev when it's possible. But in a katan, you can't have it, and therefore it's not ma'akev, period. Or, in some versions, it's not ma'akev until he's a gadol. Now that too is important, but that, in light of what we said before, puts it together with, it's a chiyuv, not a hechsher. And it makes even more sense in a way, or a special kind of sense in Kabbalas al Mitzvos, because the point is you can't, everybody agrees you can't turn your back on mitzvos. You can't say, oh, I don't believe in Eruv HaTzeiros. Now, whether you could say, I'm not going to do Eruv, I know myself, Rabbi, I'm not going to do it, that's a machlokas in the poskim. That's famous, you know, the Chaim Moser was very makel in these things. He thought it's more of a rebelliousness than it is that, you know, you have to really be convinced the guy's going to do every chumrah, you know, in Shulchan Aruch, or even the basic thing. Many people are avayanim. So is it the point that, at least at the moment, that shining moment where he's makabel geirus, he can't be like every lapsed Yisrael. He's got to be better. He's got to be ideal. He's got to mean it. That's how some people understand. Or he's got to accept the system. He can't reject in principle even a kalos shabakalos, even a drabana, because it's not halacha anymore, right? But what he's actually going to do, even when he says what he's going, that we know that he might not be perfect going forward, that's a double pasha, that everybody agrees. But let's say he says, you know, Rabbi, I don't want to mislead you, I'm not going to be able to do the Arab containers, okay? And this Lafi Korah thing, I know I'm not going to. I believe in it. I think it's a great, inspiring thing. But I know I'm not up to it. I'm not going to be up to it. And the rabbi's like, my son. I guess we don't say my son, right? You know, my brother. You know, you'll get there, right? So that's a separate issue. But the point is that this idea that maybe the whole Kabbalas al Mitzvos you can't reject, and we ask you to know. But if it's irrelevant, he's a katan. He doesn't know what it is. That should not be, you know, mechayiv. That's a mechayiv, which is not ma'akev, because it's not doable. Makes a particularly additional amount of sense. Is what I'm saying. The Ritva, however, says something a little bit different. He seems like he's saying that, and then he doesn't say it. Right? Who has it? The language.
Say again?
dehahula mitzvah ve'eno la'akev.
Okay, so if he stopped right there, we would say that what he means is, which some Rishonim also say, kabbalah mitzvah is not ma'akev, it's just a lechatchila. That's even different than what we said. That's even less than what we said. So, no, you see from the sugya of Ger Katan, it's not a special din in Ger Katan, in Chalos Geirus, it's not a din like Rabbeinu Kretzkes, it's not a din like the Shita Yishana, that, you know, it's not doable, so it's not ma'akev. We're not saying any of that. What we're saying is, the whole thing is a lechatchila. Not a b'diavad, which is what some people said for the Rambam. However, the very next line of the Ritva, oh, this is kind of like the Shidishana, right?
Well, they're back to back in the
Shidishana. So basically, by putting those two things together, there's a problem. He just said it's a chatchila, not b'diavad. So why emphasize, you know, and here it's not doable. Just say it's a chatchila, not b'diavad. So I wonder, is this the Ritva's way of saying it's a chiyuv but not a hechsher? And that's why it's only a lechatchila, and that's why it's not even a lechatchila when it's not doable. I'm not sure. Maybe. Okay. But, getting back to the Rambam for a moment, so there's a range of shitas, clearly, as to what, kabbalah somitzvos generally, kabbalah somitzvos, in this case. As the range is, kabbalah somitzvos is always just a lechatchila, you see from Ger Katan. And you see from Gershon Sky ben Akum, right, the Sugya and Shabbos. The other perspective is, even in Ger Katan, there's kabbalah somitzvos and it's inherent. And until we know it, the Geirus is in abeyance. That's the other extreme. And in between, it's only if it's possible, it's a different kind of a chiyuv. It particularly doesn't apply to a katan because of the way that it works, Rabbeinu Kreskes. It doesn't apply to a katan because it's a different chalos of Geirus of Ketan. So getting back to the Rambam for a moment and the other examples, what is the Shitas of Rambam? So the Rav thought that the Rambam's Shita was that there is are two Dinim of Geirus. And this is something we talked about several times in the year. I was trying to explain Kedas Moshe of Yisrael, and why it is, since I guess it's a good place to end, Kedas Moshe of Yisrael, and why it is that the Chachamim seem to have some sort of special role to play, just approving and endorsing the marriage, and in general, in Ishus, and why it is that we say Mekadosh Yisrael, or Mekadosh Yisrael Yidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin, the Gonim's question, say Asher Kiddushan of Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, but why the Chasima of Kiddushin? One of the themes that we tried to develop all year round was the idea that Ishus, right, is a particular dimension of Kedushas Yisrael. And that is expressed, and that's why I mentioned this earlier in the year, in the context of Geirus. And we find it in a number of examples. Beginning the third parak of Ksuvas, I mentioned this then, the Meiri has a sheet about the Gibonim, the Nesinim. Are they Geirim or not Geirim? They're Geirim, and they need another Geirus Le'inyan to marry a Bas Yisrael. And there's some sheet that's like that in Raivit, possibly, in Kutim Geire, MS Geir, Geire Rayos, as well. Right? Some people speak about Mila before Tvila as having Miktas. Well, that might be in terms of, no Easter Shabbos, no Easter Talmud Torah, some of the things that Ellie and I still need to speak about. Fine. What?
We get to it next year. When we talk about Mechamer.
We talk about Mechamer?
We get to Mechamer and Zika.
It's a little connected to Mechamer. Yeah. A Zika. I remembered Zika. And I was thinking, it's so good that no one's bringing up the Zika. But, all right. You weren't even here for Zika.
I wasn't even here.
You heard of the legend. I thought Elliot would bring it up.
No, I think we said
we just didn't hear. We did say Zika.
You did say Zika.
We threw in Zika.
Oh, okay.
That's a question.
Yeah, I have such guilt about that.
Zika.
But the more guilt I have, the more we're going to get to it. Anyways, I thought, oh, wow, no one's mentioning that. Anyway, I just didn't hear. I guess I didn't want to hear it. Such an indictment. the Gibbonim, the Kutim I mentioned. Okay, good. The famous Rashi, I think I mentioned in Kiddushin, in Tosus and Yivamos, you know, Eved V'akum Abol Bas Yisrael Avlad, what? The debate in the Gemara. We paskin the Bads of Yisrael. Okay. And it's pretty clear in the Sugya in Bechoros that if the mother's a Levi, then the child's even a Levi. Right. And yet Rashi says, and Tosus says in Yivamos, Rashi says in Asar Yosin, you need Gaius. So all the acronym are very, very disturbed by this. Like, how would you need Gaius if the child's a Yisrael and even a Levi? L'inyan Pidgin Aben and all these things? Explicit in the Sugya Bechoros. So that's another example. Then you have this riff, you know, about a Gaius L'chadchila, Gaius B'diavad. Not just a lechatchila, you know, way of doing geirus and a v'diavad way of doing geirus, but it sounds like there's a geirus lechatchila and a geirus v'diavad. It sounds a way in the Rambam a little bit, and it sounds that way in the Ramban, and maybe that's what's going on in Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, and there are probably a few other examples of this as well. You need any kiyum or a bezdin for the tefillah for the lechatchila geirus. The answer is, again, the answer might be, this is Rav thought anyway, but in some of these cases, that, you know, le'inyan ishus, to let this person loose on the rest of Klal Yisrael, right, it's not enough that you just have the din geirus, you know, as an individual. In general, there's a lot of evidence, it goes the other way to a meshumen. When we learned Yivamos, right, those happy days. So we talked about this, and the chulin people. Anybody from Cholin? No, even Elliot wasn't even here in Cholin, right? Yeah. Came the year after?
I'm getting there.
Was that the year after?
Yeah, Cholin was the year before Gittin.
Yeah. So, you know, so Mishumad, you know, it's a whole question, what is Mishumad? Oh, we had it in Yivamos, we talked about it. Yeah. You know, Avon Bishachat Yisrael V'chuvas Rashi, but then, I think we even had it this year, can we talk about the Sefer Eshkol this year also? Did we talk about the Eshkol? Did it come up once?
Yeah.
It did, right?
Maybe at the end of our Gemara?
Maybe.
Yeah. I remember you discussing the Rashi and Sariyoks.
Maybe. Whatever. But the point is, Yisrael HaBishchot Yisrael Hu, and mostly we say Gitav Gitin and Kiddushav Kiddushin, etc. But here and there we find that there are some, according to some Rishonim and some Gaon, and there are some Doraisa limitations. And the question is, why? And there may be even an Isser of Lo Sischatim, but that's the Tashbetz. And, you know, the Gaonim require a Tvila to come back from Shmad, so most people think that that's a Dindarabanan, but I think some of the indications are that the Gaonim took it seriously, it's a Dindaraisa. So again, a lot of Achronim say this, that, you know, there are two aspects of Kedushas Yisrael. There's the individual aspect, and its personal status, in the sense of, you know, Gitav Gitav and Kiddushim Kiddushim. But there's also, you know, his status as a member, good standing of Klal Yisrael. So if a person is married, you know, or b'dieved, that maybe depends on his personal status. But l'chatchila, to be able to get married, to get the green light to loosen this person on Klal Yisrael, that's a Kedushas Ha'am aspect. So let's just finish with this. It's basically the convergence of two themes which we've spoken about a lot. One is this idea that Ishus is part of Kedushas Yisrael, and therefore that it should find expression Doraisa even in, you know, Quasi or Dine Geirus makes a great deal of sense. And B, that when two people get married, you know, it's not just it's a building block of Klal Yisrael, and you know that's part of the Bonef Achas Michorbos Yerushalayim, and it's everybody's business, and it's everybody's simcha, you know, and that's why you know, we find manifestations of the tzivrut shakol bar alech vodo, the first of the brachos, and other expressions you know as well, not just the tachanun, the petur tachanun, you know, which I experienced this morning, but it's this idea of this convergence of the idea of the being Klal Yisrael Simcha, precisely because it is an expression of Kedushas Yisrael on the highest level. So even as we conclude with Geirus, really we come back to the idea that, you know, the institution of Geirus says so much about Kedushas Yisrael, and it overlaps in many respects, as it should, with the institutions of Ishus, which is one of the most acute expressions of Kedushas Yisrael. So, wish everybody a good summer. I guess this will be our last year. And hold me to speaking more about, you know, Bila and Tvila at some other time. Put it on the list. Because Hassanim's on the list, 100%. We have to do more on that. And hopefully, Od Chazon Hamoed.
That
Ishos
would also be an
afterthought. Say it again?
You think Nathaniel is an Ishos?